Welcome to the Route 42 podcast. I'm Pastor Chris Cahill, and I'm pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We're located on U.S. Route 42 north of Lodi, Ohio. The Route 42 podcast is the place to hear recordings of recent sermons at Christ the King and sometimes special conversations with our members and friends. Today is Thursday in Holy Week. We also know it as Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy comes from the same ancient word as commandment. It reminds us that on the night before his death on the cross, when Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples and transformed it into what we know as the Lord's Supper, he commanded them to love one another and to celebrate this meal often through the ages until he comes again in glory to take his people to heaven. Let's listen. And we continue with the Holy Gospel. This is in Mark, in chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel lesson for us this morning. We have these words from St. Paul in his letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth, the first letter, in chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. He says, "My dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons." This all is God's word for us this morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit as always. Amen. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or experienced this, but sometimes as you go through the Christian life, you come across something that you've known and believed and confessed from the time you were a kid. And all of a sudden, things change, or you come at it from a different direction or something, and it feels like you're just stubbing your toe against it. again and again, and it's kind of hard to get around it. It might be a teaching, it might be a phrase, it might be something in the Bible, who knows? Well, without asking her in advance, I'm going to tell you a little story about my wife this morning. She has been teaching the youth confirmation class all year, and they're up to the lessons about the Lord's Supper. And she has been running into, again and again, this Lutheran phrase that I learned when I was in confirmation class years ago as a Lutheran. The body and blood of Jesus Christ are present in, with, and under the bread and wine that are on the altar. Now, you may have heard that before, and maybe it rings a bell for you. And for some reason or other, we have had a number of conversations along the Lutheran lines of the famous Lutheran question, what does this mean? We've been wrestling with that together. So this morning, I want to focus on those words a little bit. But let's think about this supper to begin with. This is the supper that Jesus had with his disciples on that Thursday of Holy Week, that afterwards he went with them to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed. He was arrested. He was taken to Pontius Pilate. And by around this time tomorrow, on that Friday, he would have been nailed to the cross and began to die on the cross. But this is the day of the Passover that Jesus and his disciples celebrated. Just like Jews had celebrated the Passover for centuries, from the time that they were getting ready to be running out of Egypt and escaping the slavery of Egypt, being freed from that slavery by the power of God, they ate the Passover meal. And you possibly know the story. If you haven't seen the movie, it'll be around this weekend somehow. So after pounding the Egyptians with 9 terrible plagues, God said to Moses, now you got to tell the people, on this night, you need to make roast lamb for dinner. Take the blood and put it on the doorposts of the houses and on your lintels over the doors, because the angel of death is going to come through the land, and when he sees the blood on the doorposts of the doors, he'll just pass over your house and go on to the next one and the next one until he finds a house of the Egyptians that doesn't have the blood on it. They'll go in there and take their firstborn son and the firstborn of their cattle. And so that's what the people of Israel did. He also said, God also said, roast the lamb, make unleavened bread, because you're going to have to get moving real fast as soon as the call comes. You got to get nourished for the journey, but you're going to have to go quick. So that's what they did, and that's the Passover. And God also said to Moses, tell the people they're going to have to do this. This is something they should do annually, every single year, to remember what God has done in bringing the Egyptians to their knees and bringing the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And that's what they did for centuries. And then Jesus came along with his disciples, and they prepared to do that on that Thursday night, that night of the Passover. That was the tradition of the Jewish people and the custom. And Jesus, in that meal, changed it all. So that Christians don't celebrate the Passover anymore. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we do it often. Jesus said to the disciples, do this as often as you eat this in remembrance of me. And Martin Luther said, often means often, you guys. So we have it every Sunday. We have it several other times that are not on Sundays, like today, for instance. Often, because this meal that's here is not the Passover. It doesn't take our minds, it's not meant to take our minds back to the people escaping Egypt. It's meant to take our minds back to the suffering and death and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, giving his own body, not the body of a lamb, but giving his own body on the cross to free us from slavery to sin and death and the devil, to begin that process that we are in the part of getting from that slavery into the promised land of heaven. That's what Jesus transformed the Passover meal to be in this Lord's Supper. So when we eat this bread and drink this wine, we're not thinking about, or we don't need to think about, how the people got out of Egypt. We are aiming our minds toward the cross. The cross of Jesus, his redemption, his suffering, his death. And Jesus, as you heard in Mark's gospel, gave that supper to his disciples as part of that Passover meal, they had a piece of bread that they would tear the bread, like a, you know, a pita bread, and tear it and give pieces and hand it around. But Jesus said, now this is my body. From then on, for thousands of years, that is the body of Jesus. And the wine in the cup that he handed to those disciples is the blood of Jesus. This is my body, he said, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins, and this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins, as we say in the altar. The wonderful author and pastor Eugene Peterson, who died just a few years ago, in one of his books he said, you can tell a Christian church wherever you go in the world because every Christian church has the meal. No other religion has the meal like Christians have the meal. We don't always agree on what is happening in it. We don't always agree on how you do it. We don't always agree do you use an unleavened bread or you just rip open a loaf of bread, rye bread or something. We don't always agree on that, but we all have the meal. That's what it is to be a Christian. But the problem is we don't always agree on what's happening here. We don't always agree on the ingredients, and we don't always agree on how you do it. But St. Paul wrote, as we heard this morning, be sure what you know about what's going on in this meal. Don't participate in this and the table of demons. And sometimes we get hung up on, oh, what are the demons? Oh, these are, you know, who are these people who are worshiping demons? In Corinth, there were temples all over the place of all kinds of gods and demons, and they were offering sacrifices, and you could just go anywhere. And that's not the issue right now. The issue in our day is more like we have people who say, I want to be spiritual, but not religious. It's kind of like they view the whole spiritual landscape as a smorgasbord, a buffet. And they pick whatever looks good to them at that moment to put on their spiritual plate. And it might be a Buddhist thing over here, a Buddhist chant. It might be a Native American thing with smoke and, you know, and sweat and stuff like that. It might be a Christian thing like the Lord's Prayer. It might be just a nature thing like, I'm going to go up on the top of the mountain and do this. And they end up with a spiritual smorgasbord plate from a buffet that's kind of mishmashy altogether. But for us, the only meal that we need is this one, the one that Jesus gave us. We don't even need the Passover meal. But for our spiritual life, now listen, if you have to go to a wedding in the next week or so and they have a really nice buffet, have at it. You know, I'm not going to tell you, oh, you got to hold back because it's not. No, just go ahead and enjoy yourself. I mean, I've told you this story perhaps. There was a time when I was at a pastor's meeting with a number of other evangelical Christian pastors, and they had a plate of scones out in the hallway. And I brought them in to the group. And I said, here are scones. And they're all like, yay. And there was one pastor there who was Presbyterian who said a very Calvinist Presbyterian thing. He said, this is all about the total depravity of the human condition as people are falling on these scones. I said, no, this is what Martin Luther meant when he said, God daily and richly provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. And all these other pastors and people from all kinds of denominations thought, yay, Luther, yay, that's all right, you know. So I'm not going to tell you to hold back. I am going to tell you what we need for our spiritual life, for our spiritual well-being, our spiritual nutrition is this meal that Jesus has given us. I don't need anything else. In fact, I have, in similar context with some of those folks and with other people who are my friends in other denominations, I've sometimes said to them, look, you guys are so interested in doing things that some people call spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, silence, solitude, charities, all these kind of things. You know, it's kind of like you're getting ready to run a marathon, and so you do these disciplines. I said, you're so interested in doing these things because you think that by doing them, Jesus is going to show up, maybe. And I say, but you don't pay any attention to the meal where he said, I'm promised I'll be there. So if you want to be with Jesus, don't go to the top of the mountain and maybe Jesus will show up. If you want to be with Jesus, don't spend 3 days in fasting and maybe Jesus will show up. Come to the meal where he said, this is where I am, in this bread and in this wine. Be here. So Let's think about these words, in, with, and under the bread and wine. When Lutheran said, the body and blood of Jesus are in, with, and under the bread and wine, here's what I think it means. First of all, let's start with the under the bread and wine. That's probably the easiest. So take a look over here at the altar and look at this right here. What do you see? A cloth. Okay, good. Some of you are really good at this. Okay. It is a cloth. But from the shape of the cloth, what do you suspect is under the cloth? The communion set. Let's look. Boing, there it is. Okay, it's like hiding under the cloth, which you don't often see. What do you? So by looking at this, what do you think is hiding under this lid? Wine cups. Yep. And what do you think is hiding under this lid? The bread. Yep, there it is. See, so when we use the word the body and blood are under the bread and wine, it's kind of like they're hiding, they're covered up, they're in disguise. So you can't see them, you can't even analyze them, you know, like they do on CSI or NCIS or one of those. But they're there, they're just hiding. It looks like bread. It feels like bread, it tastes like wine, but the body and blood of Christ are hiding under that. Second, the in bread and wine. This is not an Easter basket, it's just a little bowl. I have a box here that has 4 Cadbury cream eggs. And I have a box here that has 4 Reese's peanut butter eggs. Here's the deal. Some of these eggs have peanut butter in them. And some of these eggs don't. So how do you know that peanut butter is an ingredient of these eggs, but not of these eggs? You look at the ingredients on the box, and it will tell you peanut butter is in here. It is an ingredient, along with milk, chocolate, sugar, all that other stuff, okay? Safflower oil, several different kinds of oily things. Are all in here. So if you wanted eggs with peanut butter, this is the one you go to. If you wanted eggs that don't have peanut butter, this is the one you go to. And you're pretty safe because the ingredients are on there unless some scoundrel has switched boxes on you. Those are the ingredients of the eggs. And when we say the body and blood of Jesus are in the bread and wine, think of them as they're part of the ingredients. They're not ingredients that the baker bakes in. They're not ingredients that the winemaker puts in the wine vat. They're ingredients that Jesus has said are present in the bread and in the wine. This is my body. This is my blood. They're ingredients. And then the last one, they're with the bread and the wine. For the body of Christ is with this bread that is used in the sacrament on the altar in our worship service. That's where you can find the body of Christ. With this bread. There happens to be a loaf of very nice homemade rye bread out there on the table waiting to be made into ham sandwiches. That's not where the body of Christ is. It's here with this bread on this altar. There happens to be some soda crackers and oyster crackers in the cupboard in there. That's not where the body of Christ is. It's here in this bread on this altar in this sacrament. That's where it is. The body of Christ is where the people of God like you and me eat, and the blood of Christ is where the people of God like you and me drink the wine and eat the bread from this altar, and that's why it's called the sacrament of the altar. Remember that from confirmation? We call it several things. The Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar. This is not the sacrament of the kitchen. It's the sacrament of the altar. And it is in this place, in this meal, in this context, or when we eat that bread, the body of Christ is here for the forgiveness of sins. And the blood of Christ is here for the forgiveness of sins when we drink that blood. And it serves to remind us of everything that Jesus did to give us that forgiveness of sins, that freedom from sin, death, and the devil, and that promise that we will be with him in heaven forever. Just like God promised the people of Israel they would go to the promised land. Our promised land is heaven, and Jesus will be there. That is His promise. But in the meantime, He has promised when we do this meal, He is here with us. You don't have to go to the mountains to look for Him. You don't have to go deep in prayer. You don't have to do anything. He is here when you come and eat this bread and drink this wine. That's the promise of Jesus. And the peace of God that passes all our understanding will keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This episode of the Route 42 podcast was recorded live during a worship service at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Lodi, Ohio, on March 28, 2024. You can find out more about us and sign up for our email list at our website, www.christthekinglodi.org. Check out the show notes for details. God bless you, and thank you for listening.